Welcome, everyone, to episode 396 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and we continue with our album reviews. Man, catching up from over the summer, and as a result, at the end of September, we are talking about August. But it's all good. It's all good music. And me and Jeremy will be up next.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
So I was on Facebook, and I don't remember if it was Classic Rock Magazine or Rock Candy or Brave Words or one of these groups that I follow. And the original post mentioned something to the effect of what I say here during these shows, that there are a lot of lazy listeners out there and people have stopped listening to new music after they graduated high school. And there was somebody that pretty much agreed with the notion and said something to the effect of what I say here, in that there's always good new music coming out. And then there was somebody that was incredible, responds with, no, the people that are lazy are those that will accept any form of music. And not actually, they don't have criteria to differentiate between good music and just anything. So this is your typical fan who is set in their ways, and I will not try that hamburger, because it is not as good a quality as the hamburger that I tried back in March of 87, that day after my football contest, where I so happened to savagely ravage the other team, and as a result, my performance has not been as good as what it was then, so I retired because I could never top that. It's just this fucking idiotic notion that, oh, it's not as good as what it once was. Right. Nothing is ever going to emotionally connect. I've said this a million times with stuff that got you hooked on a form of music or on a band for the first time. Again, nothing is gonna be as good as that time that you played with your best friend in front of the house. That first time that, you know, your grandmother made you that dish, so on and so forth. But it does not mean that all of a sudden, no, it's not going to be as good, so I'm not even going to give it the opportunity because I am better than something new. Dude. That's how you feel, that's fine. Then maybe this isn't for you. But to constantly beat that dead horse and constantly beat that drum that nothing is as good or whatever nonsense you've formed, what opinion you've formed, doesn't mean that the rest of us have to live up to the same thing. So for those that want to check out new music, want to check out different things, Jeremy and I do these shows. Doesn't mean that we're right. There's nothing factual. It is just opinion. There are things that speak out to us and make us, you know, think, hey, maybe I should recommend this to people. And again, I've mentioned this a bunch of times. I try to pick different things so that we give you guys a dichotomy of things to choose from. Not just one or two things. Sure, there are times that we agree on things, but there's kind of no reason to always just review the same things. We have different tastes, We hope that that shows through on the show, and it hopefully turns you people on to something that you may or may not enjoy. You may think that we're crazy and whatnot, but anyway, let's get on with the show. Welcome one and all to Signals from Mars. I am your host, Victor, and joining me for the second straight week is Mr. Jeremy Weltman. How are you, Jeremy?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks, Victor. And I'm joining you on Friday the 13th, which, of course, is a really good time to be talking about metal, even though it will probably go out later.
Yes, that's funny, and I'm glad that you mentioned that because it was something that I wanted to bring up as well. It is always like a quintessential day for metal, the whole horror tie-in and all that. And I've recorded more than one show on Friday the 13th. So we are back for our monthly review of albums. We are doing August 2023 in the middle of September. August 2024 in the middle of September 2024. How about that? Even screwing the year up. So listen, folks, life gets in the way and we're getting to this as quickly as we can. And regardless, hope you enjoy this episode and it helps you with your year end polls. So August was an interesting month, with the stuff that I had to work with here, some of the albums that were sent my way. It seems to be a little leaner than other months, but still has some great music regardless. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite releases that came out this year. And then, as usual, we're going to talk about some points that that we've kind of thrown back at one another here. So anyway, on August 2nd, we start out with a new Smashing Pumpkins album, Ofori Mori Mei, I guess is how you pronounce it. Blind Guardian, Somewhere Far Beyond Revisit. Actually, that's a reissue. Well, it's actually a re-record of that album. Anyway, Ron Keel with Keel World. Blues Pills with Birthday, Mr. Misery with self-titled Mr. Misery, Fourth Dominion with Diana's Day, Richie Newton with Moments, EPs from Hyrax, Faster Than Death, live albums from Lord of the Lost, live at Wacken Open Air, and two reissues from Steve Hackett and one from 3 Inches of Blood. Jeremy, what stood out to you this week?
Thought for a moment my wife had actually done an album about me called Mr. Misery, but no, she hasn't. So I checked out Moments by Richie Newton. This was actually an EP of 6 songs and 24 minutes of music, despite him actually advertising it as an album. I don't know much about this guy, really, except that he's German. He founded the band Hellfire, which I've kind of heard of, and that he now seems to front a rock show as well. In any event, this was, I thought, you know, mostly sort of good time, classic hard rock fun. It was pretty enjoyable stuff, really. It was, you know, without sort of breaking any barriers. It was underlined by the song titles Born to Rock, which, you know, has a chorus that could have been written by any band from the 80s. But, you know, it was an enjoyable kind of listen. Talking of those sort of 80s bands, as you mentioned, Ron Keel is back with a new album called Keel World. 13 new songs by his many bands. I couldn't quite grasp what was going on, really, as he's sort of representing all the bands he's been in, like Keel, Steeler, Iron Horse, and even Black Sabbath in the guise of a group called Emerald Sabbath, but No Fair Game, which I believe he was also in. So that's not there. The pluses on this, well, you get a sort of bona fide Ron Keel voice. you get great production, you get sort of super clarity on it, but I'm afraid it really sort of falls down a bit because the first four songs on it are all a little bit boring for me until a song called Give Me Guitars or Give Me Death, the sort of Steeler effort kicks in. Which just sort of cuts, you know, cuts the mustard for me. The real problem, I think, is it needs a little bit more oomph. You know, a younger man who can sort of inject more energy into it. To me, doesn't quite sort of know whether, you know, he's a rocker or a country man, you know, country music man, and it sort of tends to slip into a bit of a Lynyrd Skynyrd feel as the sort of album progresses. So in the end, I just sort of like, I went on to, you know, my Spotify and I got the right to rock out and sort of enjoyed that instead. So it wasn't really me. Fortunately, the next album was very much better. It was the Swedish band's Blues Pills. I've not been very much of a fan previously, if I'm honest. But this one, it's called Birthday, and it got me really interested from the start. The title track itself gets off to a very sort of suitably groovy start, great hooks on it. And what follows are really sort of smatterings of soulful blues and rock and roll, you know, sort of all topped off with the very listenable larynx of Ellen London, the lyricist. And so if I'm going to pick one for the week, it's going to be Blues Pills.
Okay. Real quickly there, the Emerald Sabbath is a tribute album that came out a few years ago, and it was called Emerald Sabbath because the person behind it was Irish, so that's why it has that name. But on that he sings, I think, two Sabbath tracks on the original. I haven't checked the Keel World album out to what ended up on that. But I listened to the Mr. Misery self-titled album. I've liked music by them in the past. This was kind of missing the hooks that led me to them, made me kind of really enjoy their music. It's not bad. It's just kind of samey throughout. I listened to the Blues Pill album as well, Birthday, which I thought was okay. But by and far, this is something that I'm going to have to get on vinyl, and it may end up on my year-end list because, as Rob Halford once said,
"Oh yeah!"
Rob Halford once said in an interview that when this band cooks, they're absolutely awesome. I know people don't like lead singer Billy Corgan's voice all the time, but the Smashing Pumpkins have brought the heavy riffs back into, I would say, more than half of this album. The last Smashing Pumpkins album that really caught my ear is Zeitgeist, and I still listen to it today because of the heaviness and because of the riffs on it. And this is the follow-up that I've been waiting for them to release ever since. And we're talking about, you know, an album that came out, let's see here. Exciting, hearing me tap away. It came out in 2007, so I've been waiting 17 years for a follow-up to that album. Not bad. I'm also excited because they have Kiki Wongo in the band, at least the touring lineup. I have to get a physical copy of this to find out if she actually plays anything on the album itself. If not, I hope she does play some stuff with the band in the future. So, okay, that's my pick, and I wasn't expecting to enjoy that as much as I did. I was actually playing it today. Let's move on to August 9th. We have new releases from Hammerfall, Mushroomhead, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Let me open this more. And so I watch you from afar. Okay. Siamese and a Rising Force. I wonder if Inve will be suing them for that. Reissues from Godsmack, Savatage, Dark Funeral, Fireball Ministry, Pig Destroyer, and two Rush-related reissues, the Victor album and Geddy Lee's My Favorite Headache, both solo albums, one from Alex Lifeson and one from Geddy Lee, and the Smashing Pumpkins re-release, The Rotten Apple and the Smashing Pumpkins Greatest Hits, something I almost picked up in the States, but the difference in price wasn't all that different from what it was here. A live album from Blue Oyster Cult, the 50th anniversary show, second night. Compilations from Jim Petrick and World Stage. Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Kind of missed out on that Blue Oyster Cult live album, so I'm going to go back and probably give that a listen because I kind of like some of the Blue Oyster Cult stuff. I actually listened to Elements by the Danish rock band Siamese. This is their seventh studio release. It's a kind of a full-on sort of modern melodic assault on the ears, I'd sort of describe it as. It's got those kind of generic sounds we sometimes rail against, but in its favor, it does have very solid production. It does have, you know, really good soaring melodies and sort of some solid sort of heavy guitar overtones as well. So it's a sort of band that would really sort of go down well at festivals, I believe. And even an old git like me quite enjoyed it, if I'm honest. So, yeah, that was, got a thumbs up. But I didn't listen to a lot in this particular week, and the one that I'm going to go for is Truth by A Rising Force, which you just mentioned. Band from Minnesota in the US, originally signed in 2020, that seems to have had its fair share of travails along the way as well. They parted with their original singer. Apparently the record company president died of COVID, unfortunately, and that sort of forced them to reclaim their music rights and move to another label. So this is their third album, and I like it a lot. It's very solid hard rock. It's old school heavy metal that hasn't been overly polished. Sort of band that that you in particular, Victor, trumpet on shows like this. You know, it's one that will appeal to patrons and listeners alike, I think we can sort of describe it as. I like it because it kind of lures you in and makes you sort of want to play the songs again and again, which is always a good sign of an album. You don't have to really like it straight away, but you know, you want to go and have a proper listen. They aren't also, you know, they're not very straightforward. And I think that, you know, there are some influences there. You can hear Dokken quite a bit, I think, and numerous other 80s bands, I would say, as well. But it has a sound of its own, and it's my pick of the week.
Excellent. And do you remember what label they were on?
I don't offhand, no. No.
Okay, because I'm trying to think. It wasn't Rat Pack. There was another label.
Yeah.
During COVID, that I was actually in touch with the owner. And I know that he and his wife were, I don't want to get into the political side of things, but they were deniers and they both passed away from it.
Right. Just looking up now. So they're currently on Dark Star Records.
Right. Yeah, that's what I have written down as well. Okay, for me, for this week, I listened to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. If you're looking for Southern rock in the vein of Black Crowes, it's something that I would recommend. The album is called Flight V741. And the other thing that I listened to was Mushroomhead's Call the Devil out on Napalm. I would make that my pick of the week. I mean, they're not breaking any new ground. If you're into Mushroomhead, it's more along the lines of what they've done. I will say that this is probably their best release out of their last few, only because the album is a little bit more solid beginning to end. Some of the previous two albums just had a lot of tracks that I would skip over because it was like, okay, well, we've heard this before. They've done this before. And although that may be true with the new album, I think they've added enough entertaining elements to it that it's made my pick of the week. How about that? Cool. So let's move on to the 16th here. Not too much that I have listed here. I have Dark Tranquility, End Time Signals, I've Fallen in Reverse, Popular Monster, Trench with Between Inverted Worlds, We Are Scorpio with a self-titled album, and Dead South Dealers, reissues from Creed, Human Clay 25th Anniversary Edition, and Armored Saint La Raza and Revelation, both of which I have ordered and will be arriving as soon as the Alice in Chains Black Gives Way to Blue is reissued. I believe that may have even come out today. But I'll be getting that at some point later this month. Jeremy, how about you? What do you recommend for this week?
Yeah, August the 16th. That's my anniversary, actually, my wedding anniversary. Okay. Yeah. So, but I did have time to listen to albums, and I tried out We Are Scorpio by, as you say, We Are Scorpio, self-titled. Two really soulful black girls from Detroit. First thing to mention on this is that these girls can really sing. They've got very sort of 70s disco voices. Secondly, most of the songs are written with other artists, so there's plenty of collaborations on this album. And the third thing to say, that this is real sort of rap and roll in a living color kind of way. So it's kind of got a little bit more soul, and for the most part, it works. So, you know, it does sound a little bit samey at times, something that I think Living Color sort of avoid on their albums. And they kind of avoid going really metal as well on this album. They sort of lean more on the sort of soulful rap most of the time, with the exception, though, of the song Jim Crow, which is a really sort of nice, heavy Beastie Boys style riff on it. So Overall, you know, I liked it in parts. I just wish they would have got a little bit more heavy at times. There wasn't a lot in this particular week, but I did try out The Noise, The Sky, The Melody by Dead South Dealers. And I'm very much glad I did. This is an album produced really on a limited budget, but it's really worth a listen, you know, worth your time. It's a band from Greece. They've been active for just over a decade, apparently. Although they started recording after winning a Battle of the Bands competition in 2015. They had a new singer who took over in 2017. He isn't the greatest singer, really, over the full ranges. But, you know, overall, I thought it wasn't bad. There's plenty of heavy rock, plenty of traditional metal. There's no cover tunes. It's all their own material. They sound a little like the sort of, the new wave of classic rock that's kind of sweeping across the UK at the moment. And they get a little bit heavier in parts as well, with some really sort of chunky, thrashy riffs. So overall, yeah, it's a thumbs up for Dead South Dealers.
Okay. I'm going to be honest here. I really only listened to one of the releases this week, which is Dark Tranquility's End Time Signals, mostly because the lead singer, who is also in The Halo Effect and something that I discussed with you off air, Cemetery Skyline, I was confusing whether some of the songs that I listened to were from that latter project that I mentioned, or if it was from Dark Tranquility. So I gave this album a listen, and excellent musicianship. It's just that the vocals are just something that just never do it for me with this band. The thing, though, is that, you know, his vocals for the Cemetery Skyline, which the album is called Nordic Gothic. It comes out a little later this month. The vocals are very like gothic in flavor, very much like the Finnish band Hymn. So that's what caught my attention. This, again, the End Time Signals I really enjoy the musicianship, but I just can't get into the singing itself. Why is this doesn't? Oh, okay. Yeah. So does Mikhail Stan, I guess. Yes. Yeah, that is correct. He was the original lead singer in Hammerfall, by the way. Sounds nothing like what he did in that band. Yeah, I would check this album out, and I'm noting which ones you listened to and stood out to you so that I can go back and listen to them as well. The 23rd saw albums from Zeal and Ardor. Nile, Flesh God Apocalypse, Mike Tramp, Simone Simmons, Alleviate, is that how you pronounce it? Me and my illiterate self. Nebulous, Warlord, All for Metal, Rising Insane, Chained Saint. Paralidium and the Georgia Thunderbolts, EPs from Wounded Touch and reissues from Miss May I, two from Virgin Steel and two from Zimmer's Hole. What did you listen to that stood out to you this week?
Yeah, yeah. It's quite a varied mix for me this week. I began by listening to the album Universe Calls, which was the second full-length release by Paralidium. The progressive metal band from Sweden, which hopefully I've pronounced right, which got delayed from earlier in the month. I enjoyed this more than I thought I would. There were just sort of seven songs on it and 50 minutes of music, but it's all really well done. And the vocalist Alexander Luka, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, is also a stage actor, and he's really good. So, but you know, what do you expect from a Swedish singer? You're going to get a decent vocalist. The music is very melodic. It's expertly played. Sort of think Dream Theater with the guitars really well layered over the keyboards, that sort of thing. The mix and production really add to this, really. And even if there's a song called The Arcane Exploration Parts 1 and 2 on it, they perhaps overstay their welcome a little bit. They rack up a combined 25 minutes of music. You know what you're going to get. It's that kind of thing. It was pretty good. I moved on to Rise Above It All by the Georgia Thunderbolts, a band that hails from, yes, Georgia in the US. Of course, right. you may be able to guess from the title. It's very much a Black Crowes, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Blackstone Cherry influence band. It's all very well done. It's their second studio album. You may not be into that sort of southern sound. I don't know, but you know, if you that sort of band, that type of band, it sort of hits the highs, you know, with this sort of music. It's, you know, they do the blues well, they rock well, the ballads are good, the production is good. You know, they have the vocalist who has that southern lilt to his voice. It ticks all the boxes, that's what I'm trying to say. Okay. And there's 13 songs to choose from. It's a very listenable album. So you know what you're going to get with that type of music, but they do it very well. So, you know, that was a good album. My pick of the week, though, is a band, an album called Blindside. It's the debut album from a bunch of very young men calling themselves Chain Saint.
Okay.
Now, in fact, this turns out that it's a student garage band from South Florida. They're clearly influenced by all the big thrash names, particularly Metallica. It's very raw. It's uncompromising. It's a real step back in time. And it reminds you of the very, very beginnings of bands like Metallica and Overkill. It's very raw, very genuine. And you simply cannot ignore it. It's kind of one of those that you want to kind of say, you want to kind of dismiss it and say, these guys are just playing early Metallica. What's the point? They don't even make, you know, they don't even have the songs that Metallica have, but they're playing like them. And then you really get into it. You sort of think, well, wait a minute, this is a band I'd really like to watch in a pub. It's sort of, you know, it's great to hear a new generation playing that sort of stuff. And we've said this before of other bands. You know, there's a load of AC/DC style bands out there that have made a living out of it. So why can't these guys? They're very, very talented for their age. And apparently they're going to release it on vinyl very soon. And I'm very tempted to buy it. And it's my pick of the week.
Okay, cool. So I got a chance to listen to Mike Tramp and Songs of White Lion Volume 2. This is on Frontiers, I believe. Who's asking for this to be released? I mean, honestly, as much as I enjoy the White Lion albums, it seems like he's picked all the songs that I usually skip on all the albums. There's a few that I absolutely love that he redid. And some of them are really heartbreaking to hear this new rendition. I mean, what teen is running out to pick this up? I mean, what's the purpose? Because any of the diehards or people that are, you know, in our age group or 10 or 20 years younger are going to be reaching for the original. There's really no reason to release this. My pick of the week is Zeal and Ardor with Grief. This is the first album where I haven't found them doing something really kind of innovative or revolutionary or just different. Where in the past they've mixed like gospel with really heavy elements of music. And it's been an interesting mix. This time around, it seems like they took a little less chances. And it's kind of samey throughout in places, which kind of surprised me, given that how diverse their first two albums were. Still not a bad album. And that is why it is my pick of the week. All right, so let's fast forward to the last week in the month, August 30th to be exact. And we had new releases from Winter Sun, Throne, Allende, or if it's Spanish, Allende, Leprous, Nails, Oceano, Wunderhorse, Rosetta Stone, reissues from Lamb of God, and a live album from Elder. What did you listen to this week?
Yeah, I actually dipped into quite a few albums this week, including a very lot of death and black metal that really grated with me. So I was struggling really to pick out ones I was going to sort of recommend. But I kind of like the 80s sound of Under the Weather by Rosetta Stone. It reminded me of my youth with those sort of heavy new romantic drum and keyboard synths. It was a very, you know, quite a different one to the ones we normally recommend on here, right. But I think you probably like it, Victor. And and again, a very different album again is Time 2 by Winter Sun. This one, just 6 songs spanning 48 minutes. I wasn't sure I'd like it at all, but it was a, you know, the sort of prog metal stuff that you can expect. It's a Finnish band. They really kick up a storm with it. It's great production. It's nicely put together. You have to be in the mood. You have to sit through what are some, you know, fairly complex and expansive tunes, really, but it's right. Very melodic. And if you like Dream Theater again or Sons of Apollo, it's worth you know, your time. My pick of the week is a bit of a surprise, really, to me, and probably will be to you as well. It's Midas by Wunderhorse. It's an alternative band, a laid-back sort of guitar sound. I think it sort of touches on Oasis and late Beatles influences at times. Yeah. In that respect, it's nothing new, really, but the more I listened to it, the more I kind of liked it. It's, you know, very different to the sort of traditional rock and metal we normally listen to and review here. They write really good songs. They do have those Oasis and John Lennon-style sort of melodies you might expect from a band that I've just mentioned like this. And with all the attention on Oasis at the moment, it's a reminder, really, there are sort of other talented and very listenable bands out there, much in the same vein, that aren't the big rock stars, but they're, you know, trying to cut it. And they're well worth a listen. I think they're making a bit of a wave out there with the you know, the fans. And again, different album, but it's my pick of the week.
All right. Cool. for me, my pick is going to be the Winter Sun album, Time 2. Just dovetailing on what you said, this album offers so many different things. There's a prog element to it. It's melodic death metal at times. There's even some symphonic metal elements as well. So it's an interesting mix of different things. And that's what really stood out to me for this week. So that's what I'm going to go with. So real quickly here, August 2nd, I picked the Smashing Pumpkins and you picked Blues Pills, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
Okay. The following week on August 9th, I picked the Mushroom Head album, Call the Devil, and you picked A Rising Force with Truth.
Yep.
Okay. On the 16th, I picked Dark Tranquility with End Time Signals, and you picked Dead South Dealers with The Noise, The Skull, and The Melody.
Yeah, even The Noise, The Sky, The Melody.
The Noise, The Sky, The Melody. Okay.
That's it.
let's see. On the 23rd, you went with the Georgia Thunderbolts, Rise Above It All. And I went with Grief from Zeal and Ardor.
No, I went with Chain Saint.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Blindside. Definitely Blindside. I blindsided you there.
Yeah, you blindsided me. I wasn't expecting. And on the 30th, I went with Winter Sun Times 2, and you went with Wunderhorse Midas.
That's it.
All right. So I only tripped over one of those. Okay, excellent. As usual, if you've come to listen to these shows, you know that me and Jeremy like to throw topics back and forth and discuss them. So I'm going to be honest here. There's five. I offered up one and Jeremy did the other four. But yeah, I think we've got enough information to discuss this. The first point here, remix Rockarola coming out from Judas Priest plus remastered. I'll be interested to listen to this because there's plenty of classic Priest on here that we've heard over the years where even though the band hasn't really touched upon some of the tracks off of this album, they're still special songs to a lot of us. Let's see. I'm going to look up the exact songs. Jeremy, what's your opinion on this?
Yeah, I've listened to Rockarola a fair few times in the past, and I've always thought it to be a very disappointing album, only because it's a very sort of poorly produced album. So they're gonna do that. Right. I think it needs a bit of a better mix. They're going to do that. I would have liked it if they actually re-recorded them, which would have been even better. But I'm really interested to hear what they're going to do with it, because I think you hear the bare bones of Priest on this very first album. And it's there's some good songs on there, but they're not as well developed, let's say, as the ones that came later on the next few albums.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing it. I'm not sure yet whether I'm going to buy it, but if it sounds so much better, maybe it's going to be a must buy, because it's an overdue thing. And I think they've bought back this album and maybe the next one after it. I think they were owned by somebody else. And I think now Priest own them, or a company's taken ownership and they've decided to release them and redo it and put out a better package. I don't know if there's going to be any extras with it. I haven't seen anything yet. I suppose if it's just a vinyl, there wouldn't be. But if anyone was getting it on the CD, then I suppose you might have something more with it.
Yeah, I wonder if... I'm looking to see.
I always wondered whether they would get away with the rock and roller symbol on the front, because it's very like, is it like Coca-Cola? I thought they would have got sued for that by now.
I guess Coke figured that that there wasn't enough money there. I don't know.
Yeah, or possibly nobody at Coca-Cola has ever heard of Judas Priest.
Yeah, I'm seeing that on Amazon they have a 2007 release, which is like a splattered vinyl or splattered violet color.
Yeah. Yeah. When the remastered version came out, Diamonds and Rust was added on as an extra, as a bonus track, presumably on a CD version. But, you know, this album was originally released in 1974, so it's really old. And I got really into sort of early versions of albums, 70s stuff, and I kind of like it, you know, so it's good. I'm pretty looking forward to hearing this.
All right. A limited edition Power Slave and Somewhere in Time being released by Iron Maiden, special vinyl, and something that we were discussing off air, because what's going to be released for Somewhere in Time is available in the States at Walmart. It is a yellow vinyl with a future past poster in it. And as Jeremy and I were discussing off air, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $27-ish. The Power Slave looks really cool. I've already tried to pre-order that. You can't order it yet because it's being released in November. I was told that as soon as pre-orders are available, I would be able to pre-order one for myself. That said, I haven't heard, you know, anything to the contrary that I won't be able to get my hands on it. I originally saw it from an Irish site. I hope that that it ends up here. The Armored Saint albums that I mentioned apparently are import albums here in Spain. So we'll see. What are your thoughts on these two releases?
Yeah, I suppose the first thing is they say it's limited edition, but we don't know how many editions there are, and that'd be interesting to know because we're all scrambling to get it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of Iron Maiden fans out there who want to buy them, just as, you know, we've had the AC/DC releases recently, the gold versions of the albums. I mean, it's always great to have better and newer albums of, you know, the old stuff that we've had. They do look really good. They're both very good albums as well. You know, we're not talking about Virtual 11 here. We're talking, you know, some classic Maiden. And while, you know, there might be two or three, a couple of tracks on across both of them that you're not so keen on, they've got some classic songs on as well. So they're real collectibles. I think there's going to be big demand for them. I probably like copies myself. And, you know, it's Maiden. So, you know. Yeah. It's always welcome, probably more welcome than the new albums, really, because they're, you know, more listenable.
The interesting thing, though, is one of the reasons why I didn't pick this up in the States is because here in Spain, they've re-released everything from the first album up to Somewhere in Time, up to Seventh Son of a Seventh Son. Mm. So my idea was, okay, I'm just going to pick this up when I get back to Spain. Mm. There's a local company that's selling it, and they also sold all of the AC/DC reissues. So I don't know. This is, oh, get out of here. I'm trying to look up the prices for the Iron Maiden, and I saw something. Sorry, not to get sidetracked. Speaking of limited edition,
here we go.
It has a Kiss Army logo on it. This is limited edition to the brand Lids in the US. It says right there, Lids exclusive. But the neatest thing about this, I've never seen anything like it before. Under the brim.
All right, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So,
Only you know it's there most of the time.
I saw that. Wasn't going to get it. And then I went to our local Lids, and they said, no, we don't have it. That's exclusive to specific stores only. So I thought, crap, I need to go back to the place where I originally saw it. But luckily in New York City, I found it.
It's marginally better. Well, possibly not even marginally better, but on a par with the hat I'm wearing, which is a Signals from Mars cap, which you can buy. Where from, Victor? You tell us where we can get this cap from.
You can go to this QR code right here.
There we go. Yeah, that's the cap that I'm wearing now.
Yes. And you're actually also wearing the Signals from Mars hoodie.
There we go. Why be cold this winter when you can have a hoodie just like that?
Which we can both attest to the fact that they are extremely warm. So now I'm not going to be able to find the Iron Maiden vinyl that I was going to tell you about.
I suppose one thing I'd like to interject with the Iron Maiden discussion really is whether I prefer picture discs or the vinyl that they're releasing. I kind of like picture discs, and thinking maybe if they brought out those, I might be more tempted. I don't know.
Oh, crap. All right. So the pre-sale is on this site for it's called Picture Disc Zoetrope Edition. It is €38.99 is what they're offering it for. And interestingly enough, the new Richie Kotzen album is being offered up with Iron Maiden. Look at that. He puts out an album and an EP with Adrian Smith, and it's being grouped together. Okay. Yeah. So it's actually not terribly priced. All the other vinyls are $22.98. The Power Slave is $38.99. See, now it makes me think I should have maybe picked up somewhere in time in the States. Oh, well. It is what it is. Anyway, moving on. Motley Crue will be playing a small LA club tour. I kind of glanced over this on Blabbermouth, but what information do you have about this?
Yeah, I don't have a great amount of extra information, really, apart from what you just mentioned, that I sort of saw they're going out on a small club tour. They're going back to the clubs that they played originally. Which, you can understand why they want to do it. They find it fun. They probably think that, they're going to fill it out. There'll be a small crowd there, and they're going to have it'll be a good time for everyone. I don't think it's going to be particularly a good time, because I think that if you want to see Motley Crue in a club, you wanted to see them when they first came out, when they were there originally, when they were, they didn't give a shit. They were, up all night. They were boozing, taking drugs. Not that we condone any of this stuff, but they were wild, and they would have been fantastic to watch. They would have had the makeup on, they would have had the clothes, and what you're going to get is a load of old men minus one old man who's not there, and they're not really much fun anymore, are they? Let's face it, they're trying to recreate their youth, but they're struggling. They've done a cover version of a Beastie Boys track, and they've released another song which really wasn't Motley Crue at all. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a little bit negative, because I do go and watch old bands that, you know, are good, and maybe people are going to say, you know, I got up close and personal with them and they played some of the hits and it was a fun night out. I'm not going to diss that, but I'm not really running to see it. Obviously, I'm living a long way from it.
Yeah. I don't know. Remember a few months back, I posted a video of them playing early on. And I remember instantly Johan said, oh, thank you for posting this. You know, I'd never seen this footage. And, you know, it was them playing in the clubs, hungry and really taking no shit from anyone. They were, you know, they lived up to that hype, to being dangerous and really something that you needed to see. As you're saying, you touched on a great point. It's much like seeing Def Leppard at the Whiskey. Okay, cool, you were there, but you wanted to be there, you know, during High and Dry or Pyromania or, you know, back then when the band was hungry and they were looking to claim scalps. You know, it's not a bunch of 60-year-old guys that, unless they're planting people in the crowd or paying people to go in, it's going to be people way older than us at this show. So, cool idea. Practicality. Yeah, I don't know. Next point here. Paul Di'Anno remakes Wrathchild with ZP3, formerly of Dragon Force and Skid Row. And apparently this is for his book of the Beast, or from upcoming Book of the Beast album. Wait, what? He just released an album. It's coming out another album.
Yeah, we reviewed that album.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Warhorse. So now, wait a second. He's releasing two albums in like the span of 2 months?
He's obviously been writing a lot of shit material. It's easy when it's crap. You can churn it out.
What is this? Let's see here.
Sorry, Paul, if you're listening.
Sorry, not sorry. Paul Di'Anno, okay. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it has nothing to do, or Apple has nothing regarding this album. Let's see what Google has to say. Okay. Well, it's not a cheap album. Because I'm seeing it's okay, so it's double album, 25-25. Ah, yes. So this is just another greatest hits.
Oh, okay.
So you have tracks from throughout his career, like The Living Dead, which is a solo track, Children of the Revolution, which he did with Killers, as he did Feel My Pain, and I believe Chemical Imbalance. Children of Madness is from Battlezone. Okay, so Remember Tomorrow with Tony Martin. Wrathchild with ZP3. Black Metal, a cover of the Venom classic. Dreamkeeper, Euro Radio acoustic version. You know, that's going to be burning up the charts. The Serpent and the Shrew, unreleased recording. Three Words, 1996 pre-tour rehearsal recording. The Beast is Back, 2003 home demo. And then you're going to get a second disc, which is a bonus DVD, Murders in the Rue Morgue Live, The Beast Arises Live, Protector Live. I originally read Protractor. I'm like, well, why is he singing about a tool of measurement? Sanctuary Live, Three Words Live, Children of the Revolution promo video, Die by the Gun promo video, Wrathchild promo video, Wrathchild acoustic, Remember Tomorrow acoustic, Dreamkeeper acoustic, and Strange World acoustic. Interesting. Okay. This also comes with, if you get it here now, you get a free tarot card set. And
that's a deal breaker.
For $23, 23 euros more, you can pick up, you can add the Best of the Beast t-shirt as well. Featuring a young Paul on top and an older bald Paul on the bottom. So let's get on to the matter at hand, because you asked me if I had listened to the remake. What's your opinion?
My opinion is it's not terrible, because it's the song Wrathchild. So Wrathchild is a great song, which, you know, I remember. It's just totally pointless, because you listen to the original and the original's perfect. It's got those bouncy bass from Steve Harris. He's changed it. He's changed it slightly. I don't like the way his voice is projected even more forward on it in some ways. And I just think, why has he done it? He's done it because he's trying to keep all these old songs in the limelight. He's trying to pretend that he was a big, big part of Iron Maiden, which he kind of was in, you know, for two albums. Let's face it, he was. But really, you know, Iron Maiden left him behind, and there was a reason, and that's because he's not that good. he's certainly not that good now. You know, you can argue the toss that he was pretty good at the time because he had that punky voice for Maiden. I really don't like this version of Wrathchild, and I really like the original version of Wrathchild. I saw the original version on Top of the Pops, actually. They played it live. They didn't, you know, mime to it. They played it live like a proper rock band should do. And, of course, Iron Maiden were carrying it through, really, more than he was. So I just think, no, you know, I don't want to hear it again.
Yeah, the changes to the song drive me crazy. The change to the timing, where he changes the bass and changes the drum part, just doesn't make any sense to me. I listened to it and instantly I said, what? And my kids are like, what's wrong? I'm like, this shouldn't be there.
Yeah. No. I'm going to be charitable. I'm going to say that if you were to hear him in a pub, say he came down to a local bar, a local pub, and he played it live, it might sound okay live just because he's doing his version of it live and you're sitting there at the time and Iron Maiden aren't there and you're never going to hear Maiden sing it. Maybe it'd be okay, but I'm being very charitable. That's the only thing I would say. I would actually listen to it. I would never buy it and I'd never want to hear it again on the studio version.
As much as I don't like the re-record with Bruce singing it, I prefer it to this. And I will say this, and this is a question to ponder, because we've gotten new albums from Bruce, Paul Di'Anno, and Blaze Bayley this year. And unfortunate, but true for me, is that I think the Blaze Bailey album is the best of the lot. You know, and that's not saying much, because I think the Warhorse album, we talked about it last episode, the Depeche Mode covers the best song off of it. And the Bruce album, I think watching paint dry could be a little bit more exciting. It just
kind of like Iron Maiden throwaway songs, isn't it? That they didn't put on, on the Book of Souls.
Absolutely. Real quickly here, before we wrap things up, we're closely approaching the end of the hour here. Magnum has announced that they're continuing. They're saying that they're going to do this as a tribute. Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was really excited when I heard Bob wanted to go back out on the road. He's taken the original band out. Obviously, he's talked to Tony Clarkin's family about this, and they probably wanted to do it. They thought it was a good idea. They're all going to get a little bit of money out of it as well. I'm sure, you know, Tony Clarkin's family will get something out of it. The fans, I've noticed, are very much up for it. They want to hear the hits. They're going to do 2 hours. They're going to have a little break in between. They're only playing 4 dates, and fortunately for me, they're playing in Manchester, and I bought my ticket today with a friend of mine, and I think it's a win-win, because, you know, it's the last time we'll ever hear Magnum with Bob Catley singing those songs, because I don't think they'll ever do it again, and I don't think they'll do any new music. But you never know. You can never say never. I've heard a little rumor that possibly they're bringing back a few old band members. So maybe Mark Stanway will be coming back just to have a little tinkle on the ivories. And that'd be a nice way to finish off, to see some of the, you know, the living members that are still around come back and play along. It'll be for old people like me who remember them. But in some ways, it might even be a little bit of a better concert, because you're going to hear a proper hits show, whereas, you know, you would have heard sort of stuff off the new album or whatever, and you might not have liked that one. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Okay. Is it true that the Magnum ticket is harder to get than the Oasis ticket in Manchester?
Not quite, but amongst Magnum fans, you might hear that. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Jeremy, thank you as usual. It is always fun to catch up with you with these episodes. I hope you guys enjoyed this. We'll be back in a few weeks with our September episode. A lot of cool music coming out still between now and the end of the year. And Jeremy and I will be here to help you guys keep up with all of it. On that note, we will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. Bye, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.